Show. Welcome to Breaking Ice, Building Bridges. This is Byron Jackson, your host, and I'm with Brooke. What is your last name?
Massey.
Brooke Massey.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very nice name, by
Thank
the way.
You. Thank you.
Although the initials.
BM?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's not go there.
I immediately go straight to that. This is what this is like, Brooke.
Hey, it is what it is. It is what it is.
What's your middle name?
You're talking about Bacon McFlurries, though, right?
Yeah, Bacon. Yeah, I was talking about Bacon McFlurries.
Okay, I knew. I was just making sure.
But I do want to tell you this. This is my, every day I have like a brainstorm.
Uh-huh.
That usually I'm the only one that enjoys that brainstorm.
Oh, gosh.
But mine today is I want to change the name of restrooms, bathroom, to tinkle rooms.
Oh, I'm a supporter.
So I'm going to the tinkle room.
Yeah.
It sounds so nice, doesn't it?
Yeah, I always say I gotta go tinkle. It's better than saying other words. So
that is true. Well, so I'm black.
Okay.
Just say. Because this is audio.
Are you
audio.
Sure? Or should I have asked that question?
You could ask that question. How would I be sure if I'm black?
I don't know. You tell me.
If I was blind. I just had a blind co-host on my other show, so.
Oh, okay. So how would you describe to them then?
That I was black.
Yep.
Because my family yells it at me all the time.
Well, that works.
But yeah, that really, if we couldn't see, how would we know that we were the different races that we are? Dave Chappelle on his old show, he did this skit one time about the blind black guy to join the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's pretty classic. It's pretty funny. You should YouTube that sentai.
Oh, absolutely. Just walks in. No one has any clue.
No. He's like a loyal member. He's like one of the leaders and stuff.
Oh, my gosh. After all this time.
All this time.
Talk about a plot twist.
That is. And so I don't know how I would know. Because, for one of the things I have found is that cultures mm-hmm. are very dependent on who your surroundings are and who you hang around with. So I grew up in all African-American neighborhood in mm-hmm. Colorado. And so, that's kind of all I knew till probably junior high when we started integrating. But then I started, in high school, I started hanging around a lot with people that went camping because we were in Colorado and going mm-hmm. in the mountains and backpacking. And so I would just hitchhike to the mountains and spend 3 days in the mountains hitchhiking. And but then I would try and go back around my black friends who were just like in the cars and girls and stuff. And they thought I was like an alien. I came back like I did river rafting 1 year, white water rafting.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't smoke cigarettes because the rapids would just like douse.
Just make it wet. Yeah.
And so the guys all like chew tobacco. And so I just started chewing tobacco.
Right.
But I was like the only guy in the hood with the water tobacco.
I bet that was weird. They were like, what is wrong with this guy?
Yeah, they still say that probably.
Chewing tobacco or not.
Yeah. So I just have always found it interesting that, as cultures, we tend to say, you should be this way mm-hmm. or you're not one of us.
Oh, yeah.
And I just have always fought that because I think we're all uniquely whatever culture that
different.
We're a part of.
Yeah.
And so.
Culture, personality, or whoever.
Yes.
So, yeah, no, I went to a small school, grew up with only 15 people in my graduating class. Wow. And we were a little bit, but we were all different. So, but you don't get that at most small towns. Usually small town Oklahoma, it's all, you know, probably 15 white people and they're all probably the same. Where my class was not the same. So I had a Black person, I had a Mexican, had the emo person, you had athletic people, then you had the nerd, then you had somebody that was wow. just weird. But it was just a big old mixture of all of that. So I always appreciate that because not many people get that environment, because now I feel like I can appreciate people from all walks of earth, no matter what.
When you were picking your life to live,
mm-hmm.
that was very fortuitous of you to pick that environment to grow up in.
Yeah.
I mean, just think, I mean, you could have been a million small towns.
Yeah.
You could have picked anyone, and you picked one that was actually culturally open. Are you like on your bells keep going?
Oh yeah, I need to turn this off. Sorry.
What is that?
It's my everything. people texting me, appointment reminders.
What are they saying? What does the last text say?
Let's see. Email. This one says that their event info will come out today in news you can use.
Okay. That's really critical that we know that.
You asked.
I was curious. I just want to know what's happening. So I stay up with things.
Since I sell real estate for a living and own a real estate brokerage and stuff, I kind of have everything going off. So Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, text messages, phone calls, voicemails, emails, you name it. So it kind of never stops.
You know, from the moment I met you, which has not been long.
We go way back. Way back to last Saturday.
That's right. But you seem like the thing that stood out to me is, for one, you seem like a very clear spirit.
Oh, thank you. I've never had that compliment.
I mean, you're very awake. Mm-hmm. And I don't just mean like from like coffee. I mean,
I'm drinking my coffee.
As you drink. See what I mean?
Yeah.
That's your weight that you do see. And so that's really kind of nice to be around.
Well, I appreciate that because I really strive myself to be that way and not kind of follow. There's a lot of perceptions in life out there and people get told certain things. And I try to always, again, just think about things and how are they different? And is what this person's saying to me or the news saying to me actually true? And just trying to have an open mind that way. So
it shows.
Thank you.
It shows very nice. So, and if I like talking about you more than myself, that means that you are really impressive. And so,
well, thanks.
Because usually I just like to sit here and talk about myself.
Well, that's fine because I'm not good at talking about myself. So, unless it's an experience, because I feel like experiences, that's how I teach people things. So,
because I'm 71. So to me, it's the way I learn things.
Absolutely.
But everything I learn is about me because.
As you should, though.
Everything is about me, but nothing is about me, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yes. And I always feel like we all have a purpose on this planet. And someone told me once, and it always stuck with me. Always fill your cup, because how can you make a difference in this world, whether it's your family, your children, your friends, whoever, even your neighbor next door, if your cup itself is not full, how can you pour into somebody else's cup? So I think that's very important.
Well, I agree with you. In fact, you have like some numbers on your wrist. And I ask about those because I have like 9/11 is one of my memories. If I would do tattoos, that would be a good one. 9/11/2004, because that was the day I quit doing chemicals, like mood altering chemicals, drinking and drugging.
Okay, well, that's good.
And so the reason I did that was because I was. Like my majors in social work.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of my energy was spent filling other people's cup. And my cup was I was emotionally
dried,
had nothing. And it just almost killed me. And so I pay a lot of attention. They laugh at me at work all the time, or they get pissed at me. But like, I take a nap every afternoon.
Yeah, no one should. You should brag about that. And if someone gets mad about it, they're just jealous.
And but I just, I mean, it's just, I have to keep my cup full because I try and be 100% present for wherever I'm at. But I can't do that if I'm just going 10 and 12 hours a day without breaking.
Oh, yeah. It's tough being the strong person for others. So you have to definitely find balance in everything.
Now, you do look strong. Do you lift weights?
I do not.
You don't?
No.
You look very like healthy and strong. Do you, you just are built that way?
I just built this way.
That
yes.
is pretty
good. I've actually lost all my muscle. So
you lost all your muscle?
Yep.
Did you have muscle at one time?
Yeah, I used to do all kinds of different sports. So
your favorite?
My favorite sport, favorite to watch or favorite to do?
To do.
So I was actually, believe it or not, big into competitive cheerleading. So that was my favorite sport. It filled me up and it is more strenuous. Oh, yeah. I like to make up words, and challenging than any other sport out there.
Now, were you a base or top?
I was a base.
You're a base.
Yep.
Which is, means you had to like catch people.
Throw them in the air, catch them. Sometimes I held two people in the air at the same time.
Did you watch that show a few years ago on Netflix about...
Oh, Cheer?
Yes!
So that show, I rewatched it and I was like, my mouth was just dropped. And I was like, this is why I am the way I am today. Because literally how that show is, like it's straight up, that's real life. That is 100% how cheerleading and competitive cheer world really is. So the drama... The competitiveness, the seriousness, the anal cheer coaches, all of that is totally real.
Yeah, the guy that got sent to prison on there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was really a good show, but that was harder than like any like competitive sport that I've seen.
Because it's any other, most sports are, I mean, they're all pretty much teams. I didn't mean to hit the mic. Most of it is like teamwork, right? But nothing compared to competitive cheerleading because it's a 2.5 minute routine, but every single person on that mat has their own individual routine. And it is it's a puzzle piece.
And it has to work.
It has to work.
Consistently.
Yes.
Perfect.
I have to go do this the exact same time. This person has to do this while this person does this and looks this way and tumbles this way. And then I have to throw this person at this time while everybody else is thinking about the exact same thing.
And throw them up and not forget and go some other place
yep.
while they're still in the air.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Many people have hit the ground or we've all hit the ground and I have a weird thing that moves in my chin now because I got hit in the face a few times. So... It's just part of it.
I did a competitive basketball. And that's something that I always have missed.
Yeah.
There's something about being with people where you see each other at your very rawest.
Yes. So. And you're both working to the same, like, common goal.
But, I mean, there would be times like we'd cuss each other out, like, pass the damn ball. Screw you. What the hell are you trying? Leave me alone.
Rebound.
Then we go out and have beers together.
Yes.
And I could see those guys now, and it's like not a moment has passed because we saw each other at such a rawness.
Yeah.
That, and I just, that is something I have not been able to duplicate in anything that I do yet.
I wonder why that is. Have you ever thought about that? Like in real life, like why is it such a, I have to be so nice to you, but what if you did something? Maybe we do argue back and forth a little bit and it should be fine. We barely know each other, but I wonder why people don't do that as much.
Yeah. Yeah. We're trying.
People are sensitive.
We are sensitive. We try and encourage it here.
To yell at each other?
Well, not to yell at each other, but. To just kind of be real with each other.
Absolutely.
And so that's fascinating to try and create a workspace where people can be human.
I think it's hard because it's a, it's a hard balance to kind of teach people too, because there's a professional and nice way to approach it with every single person is different. But then also some people probably use it to their advantage and not do it in a nice way. So I think there's like that fine line that's hard for people to realize.
Yeah, I read this quote once. It said, the genius of communication is the ability to be totally compassionate and honest at the same time.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
And so I try to find, how do I share my honesty in a way that's compassionate? And
yeah. So you just talk about yourself and just say, well, if it was me.
It is true, the lie. I mean, that is not the basis of how recovery programs work, is you share your experience. So,
yeah.
And somewhere somebody goes, I relate to that.
Well, because you can say something to somebody every single day, but it doesn't click with them unless there's maybe an experience where they can see it and really understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Just like my mom always told me something and I was like, nope, not doing it. And then somebody else tells you and it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
So you had this period where you were saying before that you got it. You were in corporate,
mm-hmm.
and then you switched to real estate.
Yep.
What was the thing that happened to you that just, what was that made you hit that end?
From my corporate job?
Yeah.
I'm a very passionate person and I care a lot. And so corporate, and it's not every company, but I think it's most companies. I think they just end up cutting so many expenses here and there that they forget what really matters most to a company and what makes a company successful. And so I always was one. I've always worked hard, and I started at a very young age, and I started managing people whenever I was 17. And I just, my parents, you know, was bred in me, go to college, get your degree and get a nice corporate job and work your way up through the company.
And so
I did all of that, but I did it at a very fast rate. And I kind of appreciate it because I have a lot of knowledge and maturity that most people my age don't have, but I climbed the ladder. I think I was basically three steps under the CEO of the company. And some changes that I was always trying to help change for the better, to help us make more money, help our culture better within the company, different things like that. It got to a point where we just started backtracking and like redoing silly things. And again, not focusing on trying to grow things and do things better for everybody. And so one day I was sitting across the table from my CEO and we were just talking about all the issues and how to resolve them. And it just clicked that he was almost, not that he didn't care, but I could tell that he basically had no control either, and that he secretly wanted to do those things, but somebody was stopping them. And so I quickly then looked at myself and I was like, okay, well then, why do I care so much? Why am I so passionate if no one's going to change? And now I'm looking at a CEO of a company where that's like kind of the top of the line, right? If I'm working my way up through corporate and he's at that level and still feeling that way, and I already feel this way now, like there has to be more. And just working tirelessly, and I was becoming a very negative person and managing, this is probably what hurt the most, was just managing people and trying to motivate them to increase sales and do things better for their stores and whatever else. But they had no want to. There was no why they were doing it behind it. No passion. They were just there for a paycheck. They didn't care whether the company grew or didn't grow. And so to me, that was just very disheartening. And so I had already been doing real estate part-time. And so, and that's, you know, just a stepping to so many other greater things. It's just getting your real estate license. It's not just helping people buy and sell homes. It's changing people's lives and leaving a legacy and whatever else. And so I just was like, you know what? This just isn't for me. I don't want to be this. I want to help people, and I want to just care about people and I want them to care back. And I want to look back later and people are being successful and knowing that I did that for other people.
Very admirable. As you know, in the Bible there, Jesus said this thing, I guess he said it's in the Bible, so. But he said you can't. Somebody said it.
Yeah,
somebody said it. But it said you cannot serve two masters. And what I found is really companies, when I train with companies, you can't be committed to values and a mission and be committed to just making money at the same time. And you have to make a choice at some time, you know, what is our true commitment, which is what makes it hard in corporate because, like, I go into places all the time and they have values on the wall and I go, well, what does that mean for you? And they go, we don't know. We don't ever look at it. And I go, well, this is why you're having the problems that you're having because you don't have people buying into what you're values are. And so someplace at that company, you guys thought it was good to create values to grow on. But at some place you lost that and you start just going after money and it so you can't serve two.
No, there's a lot of greed in what I do currently now too, which was heartbreaking coming into it with real estate. Cause I mean, that's what everyone knows that that's how you become a millionaire or whatever else.
It does not sound like that when you talk about it for you.
No.
It's funny. You have not made me think of money at all, but you have made me think about love of what you do and exciting. So I would give you my house, but I'm not moving because mine is paid off.
Well, I mean, you can have, well, then you can have an investment property.
I've thought of it, but I thought we'd like to get in someplace like Florida.
Ooh, I have an office in Florida.
Do you?
I do.
What part?
The Panhandle.
That's where we go.
Destin.
Destin.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm like 900 years old. We go there and we've been married 29 years. So we went there maybe in 95. Mm-hmm. They had just had a hurricane. Mm-hmm. Everything was destroyed. And so we got there and they were trying to talk us into doing timeshares.
Oh,
but there was nothing. There was no 30A there. There was nothing there. And so we couldn't at that time. Then we go back to Santa Rosa Beach when they had the market crash in 08.
Mm-hmm.
And we could have got places like really cheap.
Well, and they are building like crazy still. So, I mean, even people like my sister, because my family and I, we've always gone to Santa Rosa Beach specifically in 30A for my whole life. And then it just so happened whenever I started real estate. Now I own a brokerage there. My sister says all the time how she thinks that she missed the ship of it going up. But I'll tell you, it is still going up. So, cause we went there, we usually go about 2 to 3 times a year, for just work in general. We're going to be there in June. And every time we go there, there's just some ginormous new development. We are learning about a new builder that's come into town. So anywhere from our office is in Pensacola right now, but anywhere from Pensacola to Fort Walton Beach, I mean, it's just blowing up.
We had started going to Tampa Bay, St. Petersburg, because
that's a good area.
It's less crowded and a little less crazy.
Makes sense. We better start buying real estate there then before it goes up.
I don't want to buy. Well, thank you very much. You're really a joy to. Now, do you have children?
Not yet.
Do you want to?
I do. My wife and I have 5 little fur babies.
Are those dogs or cats?
2 dogs, 3 cats. We kind of accumulated them over time.
Their identity, you can't tell if they're dogs or cats. So you just say, we're bringing our fur babies.
Well, yes. And one of our cats is like, you can't tell if he's a cat or a dog or a mini toddler. So it just kind of depends on the time.
So tonight, your assignment, go home to your wife and say, I want to test our love. So I'm going to throw you up and then catch you like I did in the old days of cheerleading.
Okay.
And let's see where your trust is.
She'll probably look at me and say, hell no. She's like, I watched you cheer. That's good enough for me.
That's good enough. I just like to. Brooke, you've been like a great, it's great to.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. So everything that you guys have going on here is really great. And I'm very appreciative that you guys are doing this for the community and everything like that. So
thank you. You should kind of look at some of the other stuff we have going on.
Absolutely.
It's not just podcasts. Although
I did see a little bit, I didn't look too far yet into the website, but yeah, I saw you guys have not just podcasts, you guys have a little bit of everything.
Yes. We try and look for the most innovative ways to connect human beings possible.
I love it. That's a very valuable thing that I think people will continue to at least need to strive for over the next years.
Well, as long as there are people trying to beat the shit out of each other, there's a place for us.
Touché.
Thank you very much, Brooke, for being here. This is Brooke Massey.
Yes.
I got that right. And this is Byron Jackson with Breaking Ice, Building Bridges. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Connecting a community through conversation.
Breaking Ice, Building Bridges is the Possibilities Community Podcast platform. Thanks for tuning in.